Okay, welcome, great patriotic friends, to July 11th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristofaro.
And one of the reasons why I do this show is because understanding history gives us a platform to base our knowledge of today's politics.
So, having said that, let's begin the show with the Pledge of Allegiance. So everyone stand up, face the flags, and put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. Now on to today's program.
Big Presidential Day. We'll wish a happy birthday to John Quincy Adams, and I'll talk about how Grover Cleveland became the only president to serve non-consecutive terms. Plus, whistleblower Eric Snowden exposes U.S. satellites in Australia.
All right, so now let's get started.
Happy birthday, old man eloquence. Number 6, John Quincy Adams. Was born to John and Abigail Adams in Braintree in 1767. Upon graduating from Harvard, he became a lawyer and was appointed minister to about a half a dozen countries, including Prussia, the Netherlands, Portugal, Russia, and England. According to WhiteHouse.gov, serving under President Monroe, Adams was one of America's great secretaries of state, arranging with England for the joint occupation of the Oregon Country, obtaining from Spain the secession of the Floridas, and formulating with the president the Monroe Doctrine. In 1824, he was tied with Andrew Jackson for the presidential election, and the House of Representatives chose Adams, who only served one term. Adams concentrated his presidential efforts on stitching the Union together via canals and highways, and expanded the nation in arts and science by establishing a national university and other science expeditions. He was defeated in the next election and went to the House of Representatives, as he preferred a more legislative career than the presidency, which he called the four most miserable years of his life. He was nicknamed Publicola for reasons I don't know, and suffered a fatal stroke in 1848. JQA, number 6, died in the Capitol building. Happy birthday, Quincy.
1884. Cleveland nominated at the Democratic National Convention. The presidential election of 1884 was controversial, close, and dirty. No Democrat had won since before the Civil War, but incumbent President Chester Arthur was not looking good in the polls, and his health was declining as his age was catching up to him. He ascended to the presidency when James Garfield was assassinated, and this time around, Chet would not win his party's nomination. Instead, the Republicans chose former Speaker of the House James Blaine from Maine. This would be the fourth attempt to run for president, and a faction of the Republican Party known as Mugwumps didn't care for Blaine's shady past. The mudslinging began. New York Governor Grover Uncle Jumbo Cleveland, or Big Steve as he was nicknamed, had a bit of a controversy as well regarding a woman named Maria with whom he had a child. During the presidential campaign, Big Steve would admit to the affair with Maria, but although he was paying child support the whole time, he never admitted the boy was his. "Ma, ma, where's my pa?" the Republicans chanted. And Blaine was dealing with his own corruption charges, which I get into detail on my January 31st ep, but basically, among other charges, was funneling government funds for personal gain. The Pendleton Act had been a recent major issue during the midterm elections and was designed to keep corruption out of Washington. Blaine, James G. Blaine, the continental liar from the state of Maine, the Democrats chanted. Fate would be decided on November 4th, as usual. Robert Todd Lincoln, son of former President Abraham, also ran but bowed out, leaving the selection for John Jogin for Blaine's vice president. In other alternate realities, this whole story gets all tangled up. There's one where John Fremont from California wins the nomination but loses the election. There's a few where Robert Todd wins, and a lot of alternate realities where Chet Arthur ignores his health issues. And since he was a New Yorker and his supporters looked past the fact that his civil reform record wasn't exactly up to par, 2 years later, Arthur's health would wind up taking him down, and his VP, whoever that was, there were several of them, but they're all stalwarts from New York, deeply affecting economic politics in the West. But in this section of the multiverse, Blaine from Maine didn't stand a chance against Cleveland in New York, but otherwise came very close in the popular vote. the Democrats won for the first time since 1856. Big Steve getting 219 electoral compared to Blaine's 182, and squeaking by in the popular 4.87 million to 4.85, a difference of 23,005 votes to be exact. The Prohibition Party, which wanted to ban alcohol, the Greenback Party, which came from the anti-gold standard from the Civil War, and the anti-monopoly parties, which really hated that game from Parker Brothers like the rest of us, just kidding, all got less than 2% of the vote. 4 years later, Cleveland would lose to Benjamin Harrison, but come back to win again another 4 years later, being the only president to serve non-consecutive terms. 2013, Snowden blows the whistle on Pine Gap. It's not that big of a deal, actually. It's just a U.S. satellite system in Australia that's controlled by the CIA, NSA, and NRO, or the National Reconnaissance Office, and it serves as the NSA's global collection of a very wide range of signals, including, according to Nautilus.org, early warning missile launches, the targeting of nuclear weapons, supply and arms control verification, and much, much more. The CIA controls 38 satellites that serve as ground control stations for geosynchronous signals intelligence, which it develops. Since 1999, it relays U.S. missile launch detection and early warning satellites to U.S. and Australian headquarters, and since the early 2000s, intercepting functions. So what Eric Snowden blew the whistle on was not that big of a deal, but it is pretty cool. There's a TV show on Netflix based on this concept, which actually has Australian and American actors. I haven't seen it, but maybe someday. If you watch it, let me know what you think.
So that's going to wrap it up for July 11th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's show. For instance,
how about that election? What do you think would have happened to the banking system in the West if Chester Arthur and his New York stalwarts won the election instead of Cleveland? What about Pine Gap? Just another surveillance system or something else?
So yeah, let me know what you think on the comment board and let's get a dialogue going. Now on to tomorrow's program. Talk about Disco, the Outboat Motor, George Eastman, and Lieutenant Frank Reznor. So until then, you can hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is JDUSHL. And until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. Thanks for listening.